three readings today. The first one is from Exodus 20, 15. You shall not steal. The next one is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And the third one, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content in what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Could I invite all the kids to come up the front, please? Anywhere from 8 to 80. Great to have you here, Levi. All right. So, let me just pray for us quickly before we begin. Dear Lord, thank you that you love us, and thank you that you have sent Jesus to save us. Please help us to live in love for you and for those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone know what stealing is? Anyone know? No? That's okay. Any ideas? Okay, Jeff, yeah, do you want to shout it out? What's stealing? That's one way of defining it. Yeah, I guess taking something and forgetting to ask for it. Anyone want to add to that or anything how you would define it? It's to take something that's not yours, isn't it? And it's to take something wrongly. So it doesn't belong to you and you don't have the right to take it. But you take it anyway. That's what stealing is. Now, the Bible teaches us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it teaches us that the second greatest commandment is like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So think about stealing for a second. Is stealing loving to God? No, it doesn't. It isn't loving to God at all. And is it loving to other people? No. Imagine for a second that I had. I've got my Bible here. Imagine if someone wanted my Bible and they just stole it. That wouldn't be very loving, would it? It wouldn't show a love and a care for the person that they're taking it from. So when we find ourselves wanting something that someone else has, a really good thing for us to do is to pray and to ask God that he would work in our hearts, that we would want him more than anything. All right, so let's do that together now. Heavenly Father, we ask that whenever we find ourselves wanting things that other people have and wanting to take them for ourselves, that you would work in our hearts a turn away from that to Jesus, to trust in you out of thankfulness for your love for us. And Lord, we pray that we would be people who want you more than anything the world can offer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, kids. And you're going to head to Kids Church now. So please feel free to follow Pops once he's up. he almost beat me to it. And we look forward to seeing you again afterwards. Please do tell us what you learn about. We'd love to hear it. All right.
Hello, everyone. That sounds loud. Is it good for you? I've had a bit of a sore throat this week, so it's been a bit up and down. I don't know where I put my notes. Oh, thank you. Could have been very up or very down. But we're gonna start by praying. So please join me as we pray. Lord, thank you for your grace to us in Christ. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have to open your word, to study it, to learn more about who you are and what you've done for us, to gain a greater appreciation for the great love of the Lord Jesus, and for the work of your Spirit in our midst and in our hearts. And Lord, as we come to your word, humble us, we pray. Help us to have eyes to see our own sin And eyes to see your great love and work to save us, Lord. We want to just lift our eyes to heaven. And we pray that that would be the case not only now as we gather at church, but also as we are the church throughout the week. And so, Lord, we thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that you have given us everything we have, and we thank you that we can find great joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking this week about how there's a lot of stories in our world about stealing and thieves from years ago, and often presented in a way that sort of romanticizes it and makes it sound like a good thing. And so, you know, whether they're presented in a favorable light, that they are presented in a favorable light. So, for instance, there's Robin Hood, robbing from the rich to give to the poor. There's pirates, swashbuckling against an oppressive regime. There are highwaymen, robbers on horseback, sometimes called knights or gentlemen of the road. Bush rangers here in Australia. They're often depicted as robbing for good reason, and presented as folk heroes that aren't really doing the wrong thing. They're kind of held up as people who are, they're not really doing the wrong thing, they're merely just sticking it to the man. Like they've been oppressed, they've been hard done by, and they're trying to just take things into their own hands. So I want to ask you, what's the problem with thieves? They always take things literally. Get it? Take things literally. Anyway, that's a terrible joke. but that's what stealing is. That's what thieving is. It's when you take something that's not yours to be your own, that you don't have the permission or the legal right to do so. So there's a difference. Say, for instance, if someone has a car and you fill in the notice of transfer form, you pay them the money and they give you the car. That car that wasn't yours, you've now taken, but it is yours now because you've paid for it. It's different if you just see a car and you go, I want that car, and you just take it. That's the difference between a legitimate acquisition of property and an illegitimate acquisition of property called stealing. Now, there are lots of different types of stealing. When we think about it in the context of the Bible, there's stealing from God, stealing from others, and even stealing from oneself. So let's consider these different things to begin with. So stealing from God. So there are different ways in which this can happen, but one is to not honor God with what he's given us. So God has given us gifts. So for instance, he's given different people different gifts to be able to minister to one another and build up the body. But if I or you take my gift and only use it for myself, for my own upbuilding, you know, whatever gift that is, and we don't use it for the benefit of the body, and we don't use it to glorify God, then that in a way is stealing from God, because he gave us those gifts to build up one another for his glory. And if we take something that he's given us and use it for ourselves, then that would be to not glorify him. Then there's also not rendering to God what is God's. We're made in his image. He bought us with the price of Jesus' blood shed for us on the cross. We just sang about how Jesus paid it all to him I owe. We belong wholly to him. Everything that we are is his. He made us. He made us through and for Christ. He rules over us. We belong to him. He bought us with a price. To take our lives and to make them about us and not about living for him is to try and steal from him. Because our lives were never meant to be about us. And that's actually quite liberating. Because we live in a world that teaches that actually your life is all about you. And you need to find the most fulfillment and all of that here and now. And friends, we will realize as we live our lives that that's just not going to happen. We continually find ourselves disappointed with the things that the world offers. And to try and live like this is actually to try and steal from God. Because it's to try and take something that he's given and use it for the wrong purpose. Another one I want to point out is false teachers who try to lead people astray. There are people out there who claim to teach the Bible, but don't really, and they teach their own thing, and maybe they put a Christian veneer over the top. But they can try and steal people away from God, teaching people false things that are not the gospel, trying to essentially lead people away from God. And so that also is to try and steal from God. Every one of us belongs to God. He made us, he owns us, but he's not some heartless, cold master. He loves you dearly. And he loves you so much that he came to this earth that he made. And he came to give his life for people like me and you as a ransom. He gave his life to pay for our sin on the cross. And when we stop and reflect on that, we realize the kind of God we're talking about. He's not some far off, distant God who doesn't care about you or what you're going through or your life. He's near. He's close to us. And he loves us. And so when we're talking about not stealing from him, I think it can raise sort of feelings in our hearts of like, oh, well, all of this is mine. So, you know, back away, God. But no, really, it's all his. And he's not mean and merciless. He's loving and kind. And so he's given us these gifts for his glory and for the benefit of one another. And when you think about using your gifts, there are lots of people who have, say, for instance, musical gifts, who then end up using them not for God and his glory, and get tied up in a world that is full of things that ultimately lead to destruction. But if those gifts are used, and they are by many, which is wonderful, used for God's glory, then that's a beautiful thing. It's something that causes thriving and blessing to many in our midst. So that's the first one I wanted to talk about, stealing from God. The second one is stealing from others. I think one thing that I want to point out is, I think stealing is one that I've realized in our lives, we can be most inclined to justify. It's the kind of, if I think about just big picture, Ten Commandments, which one are we going to try to justify the most? I think In my experience, it's stealing, because we try to make reasons as to why what we're doing isn't really stealing, or why it's actually okay. So to give you an example, I like looking at deals on the internet, and so sometimes there are deals for movies, and it's something like, oh, this movie's been added to this streaming service, and it's like, wonderful, that's great. Wasn't going to watch it, or I was going to watch it, and that's great. But then if you look at the comments section, you often see things like people saying, oh, all of a sudden, all of these movies are now spread out over all of these different streaming services, so I'm going to sail the high seas or the seven seas. And you think, what are they talking about? Piracy. And what that means is that they're saying, actually, instead of acquiring this or viewing it through legitimate means, I'm going to go on to, I don't know, this might age me, but BitTorrent or something like that, and people try and download movies and all of that sort of thing. When I was a kid, people were using LimeWire, and yeah, if anyone knows what that was, to get music. Or then there were the people using the YouTube to MP3 converter, where you put the link in and it pops out a thing, and you, yeah, anyway. There are lots of different ways in which people try to do this, and people can justify that. Because people say, well, look, you know, this is a big corporation. They don't need my money. What difference does it make? It makes a difference because God has said, you shall not steal. And then people say things like, well, you know, it's Hollywood. I don't really want to support Hollywood. Then why are you watching their content? It's not a good idea. These sorts of things are really to take what is not ours. And that's not loving to God. I'll give you some more examples. Shoplifting, you know, taking things just from the local shops. Highway robbery, burglary, home theft, extortion, or attempts to defraud people, whether that's buying something and, you know, ripping people off there, or selling something and ripping people off there. Zacchaeus, when he got saved, gave, I think it was fourfold of what he defrauded people out of. He was so convicted of what he'd done that wasn't right. Then also, yeah, things like taking and using things and not paying for them. So bathrobes at hotels, you know, you're not supposed to take those. I remember one time I asked them what you are allowed to take. And they were saying those little slippers apparently were fine. Check that if you ever do go. But the things like the bathrobes or the towels or the pillow, those are not things to be taken. That's stealing. Even things like using public transport and not paying for it is still a form of stealing. It's to take something that's not ours. And then, I think there's another one that is quite common is sharing like streaming services when they say that that's not what you're supposed to do. And essentially the idea that, one of us pays for this and then we split the money, it's a lot cheaper. So let's just do that. I personally feel convicted that that's not right. Because you're taking something that's not yours and using it in a way that the person hasn't agreed to. To give you an example, if someone said to me, hey, you can use my car for $20, and I'm like, great, me and three of my friends need to share and drive a car, and I didn't tell them and I, you know, paid them $20 and each of us went for a joyride, it wouldn't be fair. That's not what we'd agreed to. But this is not an exhaustive list. This is a drop in the bucket of what this can look like. But again, stealing from others is wrong. It doesn't show a kindness or a love for others. And finally, stealing from oneself. I was reading an old Puritan commentary and he brought this up and he spoke about living in a miserly way, which I had to look up. But having money, but choosing to be stingy, to not spend on things that are essential or needful. So watching the bank balance go up, but not having adequate shelter or food. Being so obsessed with money that actually I'm not even going to use this money that God's given me to provide for mine and my family's basic needs, but instead I'm just going to hoard it and hold on to it. And that's kind of stealing from yourself. It's sort of like the equivalent of, why are you hitting yourself? You know, God's provided you with all of this stuff, and instead of enjoying it and gratefully receiving it, to have not living, I'm not talking about like radical excess living, but even just the basics, but instead wanting to see the bank balance go up. That's one example of stealing from yourself. Another is to live an idle life. I think this is a very, very real and very challenging thing for us to examine. Wasting time on things that are of no value or nothing at all instead of living for the Lord. Now, in my life, I've seen things go from when the only game on your phone was Snake to now like you've got a supercomputer in your pocket and you can do anything. And it's changed radically the way in which we relate to one another. Has anyone caught the train lately? And you go sit on the train, and if you're looking up and you're looking around, you're the crazy person. It's like everyone is like this, you know. And then you go down the street, and everyone's like this. And you go to the restaurant, and there are people sitting opposite one another like this. People are at home, and they're doing this. You know, it's just for anyone listening to my sermon, I'm pretending to look down at a phone. But the point being that we've managed. Not in a good way to see idleness creep in on a massive scale in our world, such that we have these machines that can entertain us till we die. And it's not good. It's a waste of time. It's to steal from oneself. Think of what you could do with all that time. You know, whether it's playing with the kids, whether it's going for a walk outside, meeting with a friend face to face, you know, things like that, all of such great value And we just find ourselves losing more and more time as we're more and more gripped by technology, particularly our phones. And then we can just see that actually God has given us this time. He's given us these gifts. He's given us these opportunities to use for Him, to bless those around us, and to grow ourselves and by the work of His Spirit. So when we consider that there are many different types of stealing, we see that this command in Exodus, which it does look really brief. I've added a couple of other readings that help add more of what we can do proactively. But you shall not steal is a brief statement that encompasses so much. It helps us to see what's really going on here. So what is the problem with stealing? Well, as we spoke about with the kids, it goes against the ultimate commandment of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it also goes against the second greatest commandment of loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I think when you look at that, you see that it comes from the heart. It doesn't start on the outside. The reason why we would be inclined to steal or take something that's not ours is not primarily because of something outside of us. It's because of something inside of us. It's sin in our heart. A desire, an unholy desire to want something that's actually not for us. And to decide to take it anyway. It's not loving to God. Think about it. To steal shows a distrust of God and His goodness and provision. It shows a rejection of God as the one in whom we find our satisfaction in favor of other things. And it shows a rejection of God's command. It's also not loving to people. To selfishly take other people's things for oneself without regard for them. And it's to prioritize our desires and our want for things over our other people. So it's not loving to God. It's not loving to people. But have you heard people say things like that, where it's like, oh, it's a big corporation, it doesn't matter. Have you heard, oh, it's only a tiny amount, it doesn't matter, they won't even notice? Have you heard things like that? Have you felt things like that in your heart? I know I have. But it does matter. Irrespective of how big the company is and how small the amount is, it does matter. God, in His great love, rescued His people Israel out of slavery in Egypt and was leading them to the promised land. And He, by His grace, gives His people that He's rescued these commands, and He's given them a way to walk, a way to live, a way to thrive. And that way doesn't include stealing. That is something there to be put away, to be rejected in favor of love and kindness and generosity. And you may have come across questions like, oh, well, what if your family's going to starve and, you know, would you steal a loaf of bread? Has anyone heard that question? Yep. And I think one of the really cool things that we see in the Bible is a concern that God has for the poor. You see, the heart of the Lord is not indifferent to those who are doing it tough. He cares deeply. But the way in which He has to provide for those people is not through stealing, but through those who have, providing for those who have not. You see, like the things with the fields, and you don't go right up to the edge to harvest all of that, because those who don't have anything can go there and they can have enough food to eat. They can survive. And although, you know, many of us are not farmers today, we can practice similar things. Out of love for God and love for neighbor, we can, in the abundance that God has given us, give to those who are downtrodden and doing it tough. Those who find themselves poor, knowing that actually all of this that we have comes from God. You know, I'm not the one who who mustered up everything I have. It's all a gift from the good Father above. And he doesn't want those around us to be suffering in starvation and things like that. And the Lord may use this to touch your heart, to think, how can I reach out to those who are in other parts of the world even, or even locally, who don't have enough food to eat? And there are ways in which we can do that, and we can work together to help one another. Sometimes people think along the lines of, what's the problem? I won't get caught, you know, as though that makes something wrong. I think when you're five, that seems like pretty rock solid reasoning. But as you get older, you realize that's not all there is. God sees everything, doesn't he? He knows not only the outside of what we do, but the heart of where it comes from. And he is a loving and merciful God. And he cares deeply about you and about everyone else. And he's not indifferent to when we would take something from one of his other people, from one of the people he's made, one of his children. He loves us. The human heart is creative at being wicked. We can come up with all kinds of ways to get what we want and reasons why it's okay, but it's not worth it. Whatever we think we can get by dishonest means, it's not worth it. The Bible says that thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's to say, those who live in unrepentant thievery. We can't live a life of unrepentant stealing and be in right relationship with God. And that really helps us see something, doesn't it? Because when you take a step back and you go, okay, so you've got a choice before you. Whatever, if you're living a life of thievery and wanting to keep taking stuff for yourself, the Bible says you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Whatever it is that we could ever possibly gain by stealing is not worth it. The kingdom of God is worth living for. And friends, we need to realize that stealing isn't loving to God. It isn't loving to our neighbors. And it doesn't glorify his name. But living a life of thankfulness to him does. A life that goes, I will forego whatever these worldly pleasures are, because I know that's not worth it. I know that's not what God wants for me and my family and my church. God wants us to live a life of love. So what's the alternative to stealing? The first thing is come to Christ. The first thing is to turn to Jesus. And that's for all of us. We all need to repent and trust in Jesus. It's something that we continue to do as believers in Jesus. The longer you're a believer, the more sinful you realize you are. And the more the Lord convicts you, the more he guides you to see how beautiful and wonderful he is and how we fall short. And then he does this amazing work by his Spirit of conforming us to the image of Christ, that we can be more and more like Jesus. And so as we walk in this life, whether you've never put your trust in Jesus or whether you've been walking with him for 50 years, there will be ways as we read his word where we're convicted. And the right response there is not downplay that and turn a blind eye, but to remember and to turn to the Savior with trust and to say, thank you, Jesus, that you took what you didn't deserve, our sin and its condemnation on yourself, in order to bestow on us that which we don't deserve, your righteousness, grace, and mercy. Turn to Jesus, trust in him. The alternative to living a life of stealing, It goes beyond just not stealing. And there's a couple of practical things that I want to draw our attention to as well. There's that Ephesians 4, 28 passage that we heard read earlier as well. And so if you want to turn there, you can. I'll read it in a second. Ephesians 4, 28 says this. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. I love it when the Bible does this, and it gives you a contrast, something that you have that it's saying to not live in, and instead to live in, by God's grace. And so here it's not just don't steal and leave it there. It's don't steal and instead work, doing honest work so that you have something to share with those in need. You see, the second thing that I want to draw our attention to is contributing. Working hard to make a contribution to share with others. Using the same hands that would have taken things to instead work that you may give things. And that's a blessed thing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And it's a great joy to be able to work together as the body of Christ to contribute to the needs of one another. So that can look a whole bunch of different ways as well. There are many people with many different gifts. You know, some people are gifted in hospitality. Others are gifted in all kinds of different areas. And we can each do our different part to build up the body in love. Instead of using our hands to take stuff, let's use our hands to give. And then the final thing that I want to draw our attention to is from Hebrews 13:5, and that is contentment. God is good. God provides for us, and we can be content in Him. We also live in a world that, like a world obsessed with idleness and our phones, is a world that is obsessed with being discontent. The idea that nothing is enough, that we always want more, that whatever we have will never be enough. And we can find ourselves doing this on a micro scale or a macro scale, where we set our heart and mind on a particular possession or thing or whatever it is, and we go, once I get that, then I'll be happy. Once I have this new top or those new shoes or that new car or that house, then I'll be happy. Or once I get my kids into that school, then I'll be happy. Once I reach this promotion at work, then I'll be happy. And then what happens when we actually get there? We realize that it wasn't enough, and we think, well, we move very quickly on to the next thing. And we think, okay, well, that house didn't do it, but this next house is really going to do it. Or that promotion didn't do it, the next one will. And we can find ourselves living lives that are a lot like those around us, can't we? It's very convicting when we start to think about this. We can find ourselves discontent and really dissatisfied with what the world offers. But that's kind of the point, isn't it? And we're not supposed to be finding our ultimate contentment in this life, in the things around us. We're not supposed to be finding our ultimate satisfaction in this life and in the things around us. We're to find our contentment and our satisfaction ultimately in God. The Bible says this: keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Contrary to the world's thinking, we don't need more, more, more. We can be happy knowing that God is our provider, that He takes care of our needs, that He has given us what we need. And so we give Him the glory, and we can be content because God has given us Himself. He's given us His abiding presence with us. So when you find, you know, you may remember the Apostle Paul talking about whether he's got lots or got little, he knows how to be content in whatever situation he finds himself in. Not because he's just gone, well, I have just accustomed myself to really low standards, so I don't care. Why is he able to be content? Why is he able to be content? It's because of Jesus Christ. And that's true for us too. Whether you're going through difficult family circumstances, whether you're going through difficult financial circumstances, whatever it is, you can find contentment in Jesus because He knows you, He loves you, He made you and he cares for you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that you made us. We thank you that you care for us, that you chose us in Christ, that you've given us the great joy of knowing you. Lord, as we looked at this passage this morning, you shall not steal, we're confronted by the many ways in which we fall short at this, Lord. And with that conviction, we turn to Jesus. We turn away from all sin to Jesus, and we trust you. We thank you, Jesus, that you died to rescue us from all of our sin, to make us into new creations in you. And so, Lord, we come boldly to you, asking that you would work in us that which is pleasing in your sight, that we might be people who use our hands not to take things unlawfully or in an unloving way, but to use our hands to give, to work, to make a contribution, to bless those around us. And Lord, work in our hearts a contentment that is unshakable by all that the world throws at us. And we pray that you would do this, Lord, that we might build one another up in love and that your name would be glorified. Lord, we're not up to this task by ourselves, but we thank you that you haven't left us to do it by ourselves. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you enable us to walk in that which you've called us, love for you and our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen.